We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Michigan escapes with a win. They go 4-0, but with a lot to work on. Michigan 20, Rutgers 13. Stay tuned because we're going to bring you player sound from Jim Harbaugh, and Brian Bush and I are going to continue to break down the rest of this game and a look ahead to the Wisconsin Badgers here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
It wasn't pretty, but proud of them for finding a way and getting it done, and that'll be good for us. We're going to look back on it and say a lot of things we could have done better, but thank goodness for red zone defense.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
All right, we're going to break this down even more, and to do it, I want to bring in Mr. Brian Bush.
Wow, this got very interesting in the final moments. Let's talk about the good of the defense, bending but not breaking. The final three drives for Rutgers, missed field goal, turnover on downs, and then the fumble.
Yeah, they were very fortunate, obviously, on that missed field goal, because if he makes it, it changes the complexion of the rest of the game, as well as how you use your timeouts, everything that goes into it. But he did miss it. You get a turnover on downs, and that was an unbelievable stop by Nakai Hill-Green, being able to step up in there and make that play on fourth down, not give any ground. And then what we saw from David Ojabo, to be able to get in the backfield, you know, and do the strip sack, that's obviously a monster play in that game. But it's really going to come down to, as Michigan continues to move forward, the read option was very tough for Michigan to defend. And if they don't come up with an answer for it, there are going to be a number of teams that are going to take that exact same play and run it and run it and run it until Michigan proves they can stop it.
We talked about during the non-conference that, hey, if Michigan's defense is going to be able to do what they want to do, stars have to emerge, right? Aiden Hutchinson, Dax Hill, and those guys made their marks at times in this ballgame, but some of the lesser known names, the more inexperienced guys, you mentioned Nakai Hill-Green. How about on that game sealing fumble, the strip sack by David Ojabo, and the recovery by Junior Colson, who I thought played really well today? Those guys are starting to emerge, and they delivered when it absolutely mattered.
Well, and if you're going to have a championship season or even just a really good season, you can't rely on one or two guys to make plays. At different times, somebody else is going to have to step up and make a play, and the guys that you just mentioned were among those. And I tell you what, I think Vincent Gray – And the way that he covered throughout the entire game, he took a lot of heat last season. He took a lot of heat this offseason. He has done a tremendous job. And today, I think when we watch the film, that's going to be confirmed.
Offensively, the first two drives were tremendous, and they were both in very different ways. The first drive, 17 plays, 15 on the ground. They go 74 yards and score. Four plays, 72, a lightning strike for the second touchdown. Then what changed?
Well, it just, they weren't able to run the football anymore. And this offense is all predicated on being able to dominate at the line of scrimmage. They started to allow penetration. You start getting, you know, lost yardage plays, and you're starting to battle from behind in terms of down and distance. This isn't an offense right now that, you know, can handle a second and 10 or third and 10 or eight. They just don't have that ability. And we saw in the first half when you're able to hit a player like Eric All or, you know, a Sandra still down the field and have those, even if they're not completed, if you have those options, it's all created because of the running attack. And when the running attack goes away, now all of a sudden a defense, they don't have to commit that extra guy to the run. And they start gambling around in the secondary. And this Rutgers defense we knew coming in was very good at turning the ball over. And the reason they are is because they drop so many guys out of the box.
What can Cade McNamara learn from this game?
Just to be patient. I don't know what was going on in the second half, because as it looked like he was very uncomfortable in the pocket. You saw him chopping his feet. You saw him moving around and going from target to target and going through his progressions. But there was never a time where he was really under pressure. There was never a time that he was hit or sacked, other than the one time he was hit. They got called for, you know, roughing the passer. But he just was never under pressure. He needs to understand that patience is okay. You do have to have that time clock in your head, but you got to be able to stand in the pocket and deliver an accurate football.
Assess the offensive line for me, because that O-line was tremendous during the non-conference. They got some real push early, and then things seemed to change.
Well, it did, and what they were doing is they were just allowing penetration. And what Rutgers tried to do, because a lot of Michigan's runs, if it's Hassan Haskins, it's right up the middle. That's where he gets his yardage. And for Blake Corum, it's being able to identify those cutback lanes and use his shiftiness. Well, penetration stops both of those, and you can't have that if you're a running attack. It basically cuts off half the field, and if you have penetration and that's where you're running, you don't get a chance to get to the line of scrimmage and for a back to make his cut. The reason they were so successful in those first three games is because the offensive line was taking that line of scrimmage and they were moving it 1 to 2 yards. That allowed Blake Corum and Hassan Haskins to get to the original line of scrimmage before they even had to decide what they were doing. That wasn't there. It was there early, but they lost it in the second quarter and throughout the second half.
All right, let's take a pause on John's analysis and tell you that today's game is presented by DTE. Smart Wolverines can see and save on their energy use in real time with the DTE Insight app and Energy Bridge. Time now to bridge our way to the interviews from postgame. And as always, we start with a head coach, Jim Harbaugh.
Close one at the end. What was the message to the team and your feeling after that one was finally all zeros on the clock?
Yeah, it wasn't pretty, but proud of them for finding a way and getting it done, and that'll be good for us. We're going to look back on it and say a lot of things you know, we could have done better. But you know, thank goodness for red zone defense. We practiced the heck out of it, and our guys really rose up. I mean, a couple big fourth down stops, two-minute turnover, and you know, forcing the field goal when they got down there in the red zone, and which they missed. Good thing for red zone defense.
Yes. And for David Ojabo, too, with the fumble at the end. Just how important was that play? How big was that moment for this team?
That was big. You know, I thought him, David Ojabo, Chris Hinton, looked like they both got in there and had a hand in that. And, finding a way, you know, getting it done. That we're going to look back and, you know, both sides of the ball and really, you know, see the things that we could have got better. We'll coach it and you know, get better from it. But overall, really proud of the guys for hanging in there and getting a tough, gritty win.
What was different after the first two drives offensively? You marched down the field, two touchdowns. What changed? What did Rutgers do, or did they do anything to make a change?
Yeah, I mean, the three and outs, you know, we couldn't get in a rhythm there and pick up a first down. I think it was like four straight three and outs, and then finally we got the ball back on downs and went to a perimeter run that cracked and got us some yards. But we're just missing. They had some adjustments on the blocks. They were backing up out of the blocks on the gap game, but thought a couple were close to hitting, and you know, we just didn't knock out those first downs and move the ball and get points in the second half offensively. That's, you know, the thing we'll go back and look at and coach and get better at.
What in the last couple of drives was the defense able to do to stop that read option that Rutgers was having success with offensively?
Yeah, Josh Ross going out of the game hurt some, and then you know, we were following that motion when we shouldn't have been, and quarterback was hitting us back up in the middle on that perimeter run / read quarterback inside off tackle play, but got down in the red zone and like I said, good thing we put so much time into red zone defense.
Well, congratulations, Coach, on the fourth win, and we'll see you in Madison next week.
Yep, we'll go see if we can win on the road.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Head Coach Jim Harbaugh's thoughts after the Wolverines win it over Rutgers 20-13 on Saturday. Let's get to the player interviews, and we start right after the game on the field. Doug Karsh with David Ojabo.
All right, I have David Ojabo, who just forced that fumble to seal this game. I heard your defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, talking to you guys before that drive. Did he say something about Vedrill keeping the ball?
Hey, man, he just said be ready for anything. And QB draw, drop back pass. You know, but we ready for anything, man. He gave us all the situations. Went out there and executed, man.
All right, take us through the play where you forced the fumble.
Well, I mean, any type of overset or any type of jump out, I'm thinking spin, counter. When I seen that, I said, say no more. Spun back inside, seen the quarterback, and that's all she wrote.
When you hit him, did you know that the ball came out?
Hey, man. As long as the QB came down, man, I just got outside celebrating. I don't even know. Man, it's a crazy moment, but.
How about your defense today? You came up with four fourth down stops. That's pretty impressive.
Hey, man, this is what we're about, man. I mean, we're going to do whatever it takes to win, and you see it, man. It's a team effort, but did whatever it took.
Obviously, they moved the ball in the second half. Did you guys get a little tired?
We rotate frequently, but yeah, I mean, we got a little gas. But guess, like I said, man, we won the game and God is good, man.
All right, thanks for your time.
Sure, bless.
Ojabo with that strip sack late, Michigan surviving 20-13. Then Nakai Hill Green stopped by for the first time. Here's Doug with Nakai.
Brian, thank you. Nakai, let's just start at the end of the game. They had the ball in your territory. They had a fourth and two. They had their running quarterback in there, and you came up and made a big play on a fourth down stop. Take us through that play.
I was just reading my keys. You know, Josh Ross was out. I was in his position. Something we preach on defense is just to win, and that means what's important now. And what was important right there was just that stop on that down.
When the ball was snapped, what did you see?
I seen them run a play that they ran. Earlier in the game, I knew the quarterback was keeping it because every time they run that play, 21 keeps it. I just tracked his hip and made the tackle.
I heard your defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, talking to you guys about him keeping the ball. What did he tell you?
He told us previously in the game they kept it multiple times, and he's like, just be ready for it and play inside out. Don't overplay it, and just shoot your gun. Get a TFL on that play if he keeps it.
Obviously, you came up with a huge stop on the defensive side. At the end of the game, David Ojabo knocking it free, Junior Colson scooping it up. What did you see there?
Just guys being prepared. We're built for moments like this as a defense, and we're fourth quarter closers. So that's what we had to do. We had to close, and we had to make a play. Whoever it was, somebody had to make a play.
You mentioned earlier Josh Ross being out of the game. Obviously, that's a blow, but take us through what he was saying to you guys on the sidelines and trying to help you out.
He was being Josh, always being a leader, always being a captain, telling us, asking us what we see, telling us what to look for and to just to play the game and relate to our work.
You guys had four fourth down stops in the game. One of the more unusual ones is where they faked like they were going to call a timeout and then the running back took the snap. Were you guys, did you know that was coming?
We were prepared for it. We don't really react to people. That we make them react to us. So we were ready whenever they snapped the ball. So they snapped it, we were ready, and we stopped them.
You also had a huge stop in the red zone where you forced a couple of field goal attempts when they were trying to come back. One, an incompletion to the outside where I think Brad Hawkins and Vince Gray were in on it. They missed the field goal. How big are getting stops like that in a tight game like this?
That's huge. People don't think about it, but that's actually minus 4 points. And so we won those possessions. And that's just complete team defense. That's everyone being on the same page and everyone just doing their assignment, executing.
Obviously, you're going to have to win games a variety of ways. Earlier in the year, I heard some guys on defense saying the offense with their long drives kept you guys fresh. Today, they weren't getting those long drives. How tired did you guys get in the second half?
We didn't get tired at all. We were rotating. We were fresh. And honestly, we could play another game right now.
Khalil Mullings playing next to you now with Josh Ross out. How do you think he did?
He did awesome. He stepped up to the plate. He did his assignments. He read his keys great, and he did his job when his number was called. I'm super proud of him.
Nakai Hill-Green, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Next up for our post-game interviews, here's Junior Colson.
Junior, overall feeling in the locker room here after this win? You guys obviously tighter than many people expected, but how's the team feel?
We feel amazing. You know, win's a win, so that's like 4-0, on to the next. We got to forget about this team and move on. Keep working.
Obviously, increased snaps for you when Josh Ross went down. What did Josh talk to you about during the game?
During the game, he was just like, you know what to do. Kick those jitters out. You're a baller. Just go out there and ball. Just go out there and do your thing.
Well, you got to do your thing, including the last play they ran offensively. David Ajabo knocks it out. Take us through that play from beginning to end.
That play, we just knew we had to stop him from getting to like near the end zone or anywhere around there. So it was like we were like 2 minutes in the situation. So we were like expecting like just, you know, some trickery. Saying when the play snapped, I thought I saw a screen, so I was like, I was expecting a screen. And I was like, all right, I'm pull the trigger. So I attacked, and Jabo just knocked the guy out, and the ball came out. I'm like, I was right there, just right time, right place.
Was it? I mean, it looked like a perfect bounce to you.
Yeah, it was a perfect bounce to me. I was like, okay, pick it up and just keep going. Yeah, it was awesome.
Okay, obviously earlier this year, defense got long stretches of rest while the offense just chewed up clock. Today they weren't doing that, and you guys had to step up. First of all, how fatigued did the defense get in general?
We weren't really fatigued. We were just excited to go out there and do our thing because we were like, it's on us now. It's on us. Like, that's how we want it to be because the defense wins championships, and now here, so like, We wanted to be, like, you know, as some real adversity, so this was our real adversity, and we came up and stepped up.
Well, you stepped up on fourth down especially. You came up with 4 fourth down stops today, including one where they had a play where the quarterback faked like he was taking a timeout. What did you guys see there?
We expected, like, trickery the whole game, so that was kind of our mindset. And then we were like, stay ready so you don't have to get ready, so that was our mindset. So we were like, we saw him, like, him moving out and then, like, the running back coming up under. We're like, all right, he's going to run it. Just boom, pull the trigger, just attack. So that was kind of our thing. We all just jumped in there. Yeah, the ball came out somehow.
All right, let's talk about next week. You go to Wisconsin, first road game for you as a freshman, but what are going to be some things to clean up for next week?
Just everything. We always we're striving for perfection. So every game is just strive for perfection. So every game we're just going to keep getting better and better.
Came up with a big fumble today. Nice job. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
And we go all defense in terms of our player interviews, wrapping things up with Chris Hinton.
Let's start with the final play of the game. What did you see? David Ajabo knocks it out, and Junior Colson scoops it up. What did you see?
Last play of the game, we knew we needed a big stop. And Ajabo, credit to him. We've been preaching punch the ball out all week, and we executed it very well. Ajabo, great hustle on the backside, chased down, punched the ball, did what we've been preaching. And Junior, again, good job scooping it up and sitting the game.
At halftime, you guys were up 20-3. Did they come out doing anything different in the second half?
They didn't really come out doing anything different, but, I mean, we just knew we needed to bow up at the times that we needed to bow up. And step up and make stops, and I think we did that when we needed to.
4 fourth down stops in this game. Take us through, you know, making – those are money plays, right? Those are plays you guys emphasize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, fourth down stops. We knew Rutgers, you know, hey, they're going to put their money in the whole thing and go for everything. So we knew coming into game that fourth down, we got to pin our ears back and made big stops, and we did what we needed to do. You know, they tried to sneak, snuffed it out, and some other plays, and we executed what Coach Matt called really well.
The last one, maybe the biggest one, they've got the ball in your territory, down seven, it's fourth and two, they bring in the running quarterback. What did you see on that play?
Like I said, our coach prepared us really well all week. We knew that when the running quarterback came in, I mean, it's a direct run. So, I mean, like I said, we bowled up, fourth down, got to the backfield and got stopped. We knew what they were going to do, and we just executed what we needed to do.
I noticed when you guys came over to the sideline, your defensive line coach, Sean Nua, boy, did he get fired up after that stop.
Nah, yeah, we love Coach Nua. He always brings great energy. Love to play for him. He's a great guy, great coach, and we just keep chugging.
All right, talk about next week. Huge challenge. You got Wisconsin ahead, first road game of the year. What are some keys early? Obviously, you haven't watched much film on them yet, but what are some of the keys you think you guys need to clean up?
We know coming into the game, that Wisconsin game, they're going to try to run the ball down your throats. So front seven, we're going to have to take pride in this game, being gritty. May not be a big stat game, but we know what we need to do. And just stay gritty in the middle so everybody can eat. And we know that just Wisconsin traditionally. And we're going to attack preparation every day.
Chris Hinton, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
We got to get some offensive perspective. Let's go to the two offensive linemen who called the game. Their farewell season, Jim Brandsatter and Dan Dierdorf. Here were their thoughts after Michigan's 7-point win over Rutgers on homecoming in Ann Arbor.
They survived because at halftime with a 20-3 lead, we were looking at a 35, 34 to 10, 12, 16 victory. But, boy, Michigan's offense in the second half couldn't do anything. And here's the numbers. Dan Dierdorf, we'll talk about this. The numbers don't look like a 20-13 win. Michigan was outgained total yards, 275 to 352. In rushing, Rutgers had 196 to Michigan's 112. Time of possession, 32-37 Rutgers, 27-23 for Michigan. And yet Michigan comes out on top, 20-13. And in the second half, the offense basically didn't show up for the Wolverines. And the defense, when it got down toward the red zone, that's when this defense stiffened. And they needed to. Even though they gave up 100 yards rushing to Pacheco, they were able to keep Rutgers from those touchdowns that were important. And a missed field goal by Ambrosio really kind of set the tone and gave Michigan the cushion that they needed.
When they had to, the defense came up with a couple big plays. There's not a doubt about that. It's just so frustrating that this Michigan offense just no-showed in the second half. I mean, a scoreless second half. We had 20 points at halftime. We have 20 points at the end of the game. And the reality of it is, Jim, that at the line of scrimmage, Rutgers won the day. We averaged less than 3 yards a carry running the football.
Just to give you
after those 350-yard days in weeks 1, 2, and 3, we can't get 3 yards a carry against Rutgers.
Give you the numbers. Corum, 21 carries, 68 yards. Haskins, 12 carries, 41 yards.
But they averaged – Corum averaged 3.2 a carry. Haskins 3.4. Those are not good numbers in this college football world. And so our offensive line, which was getting praised and deservedly so from the first three games, did not have a good game today. Now, they didn't allow any sacks, but the fact is they didn't play very well. They didn't get a good push at the line of scrimmage, and that is what it is.
And Cade McNamara didn't have a great game on his side either. As accurate as he has been in the first three and in control of this offense, he did not have as the kind of game you need to have against a tough defense like Rutgers.
Next week in Madison, Jim Leonard, their defensive coordinator, has been to a few rodeos.
A few?
Yeah.
Hey, he's a really good one.
What do you think their defensive game plan is going to be next week? Might it be, under no circumstances will we allow Michigan to run, and we're going to see if Cade McNamara can pass them to a win.
They're going to take a page right out of Rutgers' book.
That's what it's going to be.
And they're going to sit there and say, okay, Cade McNamara, you're going to beat us.
And I don't know the answer to that.
We'll find out next week.
You don't either, and neither does anybody else.
Well, Michigan certainly this week has a lot of work to do to get ready for their first road game of the season and their second Big Ten game of the season against a team that is going to be desperate in Wisconsin, as they have lost to Notre Dame today. And that's their second of the year. So,
and Madison, you know, these Michigan players, you know, Jim, if ever you're looking for a little retribution, Madison has been a house of horrors for this Michigan football team the last couple trips up there.
And those folks in Madison, they're going to be loud. It's going to be, you want to talk hostile environment?
That
pretty much sums up what Camp Randall Stadium is.
Well, if they watch this second half by Michigan, they'll realize there's blood in the water, and the Sharks will be out.
The final is 20-13, Michigan on top of Rutgers in their Big Ten opener. Everybody came back for homecoming is in a good mood, but Michigan's got a lot of work to do. They win it, the final, 20-13 over Rutgers.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
John Jansen, let's look ahead a little bit. First, before we talk about the Badgers, what can Michigan learn from this game?
Well, they've got to learn that, one, they need to be more efficient in the passing game. And we talked about Cade McNamara, what he needs to do. You know, there were times where maybe the ball was off the mark. There was one to Mike Sanrastil that was a little bit low. It was low, and it got him off stride, but it's still a catchable ball. Eric Aull was able to get a hand on a ball late in the game there as well. If you can touch it, you should be able to catch it. So it goes both ways, but they need to be able to establish dominance up front at the line of scrimmage. This offensive line, they know their identity. They have to have confidence in what they accomplished in the first three games moving forward.
Two-part question about Wisconsin coming up next week in Madison. First, this will be the first time since 2019 that Michigan will have a true road environment. Michigan played at Minnesota, they played at Indiana, they played at Rutgers last year, but we all know that wasn't a typical road scenario. It was far from typical. This is Camp Randall. I know it's been a struggle for Wisconsin, but how does this team, a lot of these players, they haven't experienced anything like this. How do they handle it? How does this team get ready for that during the week?
Well, you don't forget how to play in front of a crowd. Now, you are going to have to realize that, hey, there's going to be crowd noise, and they're going to do things to work on that at practice. But these guys played in high school. They've played here at Michigan. Playing in front of a crowd is not going to be an excuse going on the road. And to your point about road games in 2020, in the Big Ten, the road teams were actually the favorites. They won more than they lost. So I think we're going to get back to some normalcy. But when you face Wisconsin and you know that you're going to Madison, it will be a rowdy environment. It's going to be a fun environment. There's going to be a lot of things to look forward to in playing in front of a crowd like that.
On the field, Wisconsin loses its opener to Penn State at home. They were playing close in a kind of an ugly game with Notre Dame. And then the Irish just go off for 31 fourth quarter points. It was bonkers. They're going to be fired up. They're going to be mad, but they're not executing very well. What will be critical in terms of the on-the-field side?
Well, it's going to be turning the ball over. Graham Mertz accounted for five of the turnovers that Wisconsin had. He threw four interceptions and fumbled the ball one more time. And not only that, but when he was throwing the ball to his own teammates, he was 18 of 41. This is not your typical Wisconsin team that you're going to face. And, yes, they're big up front, but they don't have – a bell cow running back, a workhorse that they're going to hand the ball off to. It's not the typical rushing attack that you're going to see in Wisconsin. So you've got to be able to be prepared, and our secondary needs to be prepared. And I tell you what, our defensive line needs to be ready to stop whatever they throw at them in terms of running the ball, but getting after Graham Mertz.
Yeah, it's been really weird seeing what's happened with Mertz and with Wisconsin, but they're going to be really mad, really frustrated. Going to be an interesting opportunity and a tough test for the Wolverines. John, as always, we appreciate it. Good stuff as always. And, hey, it wasn't easy, but 4-0 is 4-0.
A win is a win. I don't care how you get it. A good win, a bad win, they're all better than any loss you're going to face. So we'll do this again next week. And appreciate it, Brian, and go Blue.
Great stuff as always from John Jansen. We appreciate all of you tuning in as well. As the Wolverines get the job done, they're 4-0. They win it over Rutgers 20-13. Hope you can join us next week. Plenty of great stuff coming on MGO Blue Podcasts. Monday night, the radio replay of Inside Michigan Football. John Jansen hosts that as always. Tuesday, Defend the Block, women's basketball head coach Kim Barnes-Rico. We'll have In the Trenches on Wednesday. Thursday, Conquering Heroes, the head coach of Michigan hockey, Mel Pearson, will stop by. And then we'll have the preview episode and the recap episode coming up next Friday and Saturday as the Wolverines hit the road for the first time, taking on Wisconsin on Saturday. For John Jansen, I'm Brian Bush. Thank you so much for listening, and go Blue.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.